Title of my sermon today is Be a Doug. Hallelujah. Amen. It will make sense, hopefully, by the end of the service. If it doesn't, I failed. Amen. Last week, we began with talking about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And we talked about a wonderful gift that Jesus said he had for this woman, the Samaritan woman. And he said in verse 10 of that chapter 4, Jesus replied, "If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." And we talked about the living water being the Holy Spirit. We had trouble with that last week. But it is the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times it's referred to here as a reference to our salvation. In verse 13, Jesus went on and said, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again." Hallelujah. If we continue to drink at the well, at the spring of living water, guess what? You will never thirst for anything else in this world. So it becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. How many know you have eternal life if you have accepted Jesus Christ? And if you accepted Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God came in and lives within you today. Hallelujah. So let's not crash or bash other denominations, right? If they know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives in them. But what I want you to notice in this story is that the Samaritan woman did not stay at the well. And that's important for us here this morning. She did not keep it for herself. She shared the gift. We know the story. She went into town, told the townspeople, and what they do, they listened to her message, and they listened to the message that Jesus had for them, and they believed on Jesus Christ because they had heard her words, and now they had heard Jesus' words. So how many know that rivers begin with springs? We sit here on the edge of town here where the Allegheny River flows. And how many know it just wasn't always a river? It started with springs. The river of God begins with a fresh, bubbling spring, and it begins in us and flows outward. Jesus foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. And this is where we're going to kind of launch off here today. On the last day, in the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty," does that sound familiar? We just read that about the woman at the well. "Anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers." So we're coming from a well, we're coming from a spring, we're coming into rivers. How many know that God doesn't want you just to be a spring or enjoy the spring, but he wants you to become a river of living water will flow from where? Within them, within us. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. So today, I just want to proclaim to you that we cannot stay at the well. It is not God's plan for us to stay at the well. And we see it in the life of the Samaritan woman. She did not stay at the well, right? She became a river. Hallelujah. And God wants us to be a river. So we're going to Ezekiel chapter 47. It says there, starting with verse 1. "The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple." We don't know who this man was. We don't know if it was a form of Jesus. We don't know if it was an angel. Ezekiel really doesn't tell us who this is. "The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, which is basically a third of a mile, and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee-deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to my waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba, which is enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Eglam, whatever. There will be places for spreading nets. The swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. This fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." Father, I just ask that you would just take this word today. Lord, that Holy Spirit is not just a doctrine. It is a relationship that you desire your church to possess. And so, Lord, today I'm asking God for those that are seeking more of you. Lord, they're really seeking more of the Spirit of God in their life. I pray today, Lord, if they have not received the Holy Spirit, Lord, we're believing, God, that through this month, Lord, there'll be an opportunity for them to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Father, we believe it's for everybody. It is a gift that you have given to the church. And so, Lord, I'm asking, God, that you will stir hearts here today that maybe have not received, but I pray, Lord, that there will be something within them, Lord, that thirst within their soul, Lord, that will thirst after this wonderful gift that you have given your church. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we read there, the river begins at the threshold of the temple and flows by the altar and out the east gate. How many know the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And it's in that spirit that where we experience that fresh, bubbling spring. One of the things that was spoken over our meetings this past week was that we are the Holy of Holies. Do you understand that today? We are the Holy of Holies. God dwells within us. And so that is the source of our power. It is the source of our salvation. It is the source of anything that we need. It continues to flow by the altar, it says here. How many know that the altar is important in a church? It's there where we meet with the Holy Spirit. It is through us, it's important for us to gain something at the altar. And so the altar is something we're going to be working on as a church. I'm terrible at altar calls, I know it, but we're going to be working on that. And we're going to believe that God's going to begin to do things at our altars. And so we see that it continues to flow to the east gate, which is the gate of the Messiah. If you are familiar with the triumphal entry where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, where does he enter in? He enters into the east gate. And today, if you were to see a picture of the walls of Jerusalem, you will see that that gate is sealed. It is blocked up. You cannot enter there. And so we are told in Revelation that what? That gate will be open one more time when Jesus Christ once again returns to the earth. So it is the gate. It is the gate that this river will flow through. And this gift of the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said he will come and what? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so it's through that gate. Jesus said, "I am the gate." And the sheep come and go in that gate. So, church, we're going to enter that gate. We want to experience everything that God has for us. So I'm going to give you a summary of my message before I even preach it. All right? Here we go. Number one, Many want to stay at the source or the well, where they can enjoy the fresh, bubbling springs. That was never Jesus' intent. And we can even see it in the life of the Samaritan woman. She didn't hang out there. She left the spring, she left the well, and went into the town. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, he says this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Go, go. We are commanded to go. We are commanded to go outside of the church to the world. Make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We often think of that, of water baptism, but why can't we think, if the Holy Spirit's included here, why not baptize them in the Holy Spirit? If you do that, Jesus said, if you go and do the preaching and if you baptize, guess what? I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. We all want Jesus' presence in our life. And how many know when we're in obedience to him, if you love me, you obey my commandments, guess what? He's going to hang around. He's going to be there with us. So we see that many want to stay at the source of the well. We can't stay there, church. That's not where we're meant to be. Secondly, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1:8, when you receive the Holy Spirit, basically he's saying, go again. And he said, be my witnesses. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will what? Be. Not do. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We have been empowered to be witnesses. And this fresh, bubbling spring will go with you. It's important that we continue to drink from the well. But guess what? He doesn't want us to just hang out at the spring, but he wants us to become the river which the spring will eventually flow through. We are conduits of the Holy Spirit. So the third thing is, the paradox of the kingdom is the more you give, the more you get. Do you understand that? The more we give, the more you get. We don't get more by just sitting by the spring. By sitting and soaking. You remember what God said to Elijah while he ran from, what's her name? Jezebel. Just make it see if you're awake. He went and hid in a mountain, and what did God ask him? What are you doing here? Maybe that's a good question for us. What are you doing here? We get more by being the river. Hallelujah. And this is where we're going at in this Ezekiel. By being a conduit of the Holy Spirit, we will begin to what, live out Matthew 28. We will begin to live out Mark 16 that says these signs will follow those that what? Believe. Believing is not just a mental assent to something, but it is actually believing it and doing it and living it. That's what that word is actually talking about. So the further we get away from the spring, the deeper the water, the move of the Spirit becomes. I don't know if you're going to digest that one or not, or even believe what I'm saying. The further we get away from the spring, the deeper the water and the move of the Spirit. And let me remind you that when the spring dries up, the river dries up. So we need to continually have that spring of fresh water flowing within us. How many know a glass can only hold so much water? You keep pouring, what's it do? It overflows. But if that glass is to hold more, what's it have to do? It has to be emptied out. And then you could put more water in it. Church, a lot of us, there's nothing more that can be fit in us because we're full. Unless we begin to pour some stuff out, begin to use what he's given us, how can he give us more? Or why would he give us more? Might be the better question. If you want to add more, you have to pour some out. We are stewards, we are servants of the Most High, and when we stand in judgment before God, it won't be because of our sins, because Jesus has covered that. But we will be judged by what we did with what we had. Let me say that again. You will be judged for what you did with what you have. So you wonder where I get my title of my message? Here we go. When I was a child, I lived at 14 McKay Lane in Brookside, Delaware. And two houses down from me, I had my best friend lived. And he lived at 18 McKay Lane. And in our neighborhood, we had what we call the Brookside Pool. And at that place, there was actually four pools. And so it was not uncommon for us to be there on a regular basis. But when Doug went swimming, he was a pain. He was one of those ones that just didn't just jump in, but he had to become acclimated to the water temperature. You know those people that start with dipping their toes in and then move a little further, a little further, a little further. And so by the time he got acclimated to the water, you're ready to get out. This was my friend Doug. It was a long process. And many Christians are like Doug. They need to be acclimated to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that's okay. It's okay. Because how many of us accepted Jesus the first time we heard? Nah. Most of us did not. How many of us accepted the Holy Spirit the first time we heard? Probably not. We had to become acclimated to it. And the man in Ezekiel 47 was making this point to Ezekiel. The further away from the spring, the deeper the water. And so Doug would start in the shallow end and work his way to the deep end. And we see in this story, one third from the eastern gate, the water was ankle deep. Another third of the mile, it was knee deep. Another third of the mile, it became waist deep. And then a third of the mile, it was over Ezekiel's head where he had to swim. That's the process Doug took every time he went swimming. It wasn't fun. But when he got acclimated, it was fun. As believers, we're in different places on our journey in Jesus Christ. We are in different places when it comes to understanding and flowing in the Holy Spirit. Some are on the bank just looking at the river. And maybe they'll never get in. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to be part of it. They're just on the bank. And then there are those that are just dipping their toes in, kind of filling it out, getting acclimated to the temperature of the water, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. And maybe you're here today and you're swimming because the water's over your head and you're saying, I don't understand why people don't want to be in the deep end. The water's just fine over here. Why is this important for us here today? What is the importance of this river? I'll tell you what the importance of this river is because Ezekiel tells us what the importance is. He says in verse 6 and 7, he said, this man asked me, son of man, do you see this? And you need to see this here this morning. It says, then he led me back to the bank of the river. A better probably translation is, he led me back along the river in which I had traveled. And what you will find there, he said, when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. So as he was going down from the temple down, there must have not been anything because he didn't notice anything. But all of a sudden, he turns around and sees what this man is saying and says, look at the trees. So all of a sudden, there are trees growing. Not only are there trees growing, but they're bearing fruit. You have to jump down to verse 12. The fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will wither, will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Church, we are called to bear fruit. We are ambassadors of healing. We sing that song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. We see in this scripture in Ezekiel 47, where does it flow? It flows out of the sanctuary. It flows out of the temple. You are that temple. You are that sanctuary. That brings life. It produces fruit. People need to hear what we have to say. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. This living water produces life wherever it flows. Life springs up around us when the living water is in us and flowing out of us. How many know we don't have to make it happen? That's God's job. That's His job. But it will naturally happen when we leave the spring and become that river. Because what? The spring is for us. The river is for others. So it produces fruit. And let me say, it produces naturally. If you are walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, flowing like the river of the Spirit, guess what? Things are going to be happening around you. Naturally. We don't have to pump it up. We don't have to advertise. It's just going to happen. Jeremiah 17:8 said this. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. How do you like that? In a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's what God wants us to be. Ezekiel also recorded something else this river of living water produced. We go on and we read verses, starting with verse 8. He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. There are swarms of living creatures. There will be a large number of fish. And guess what? Fishermen will stand along the shore. The fish will be many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. So this river of living water brings dead things to life. So wherever you go, you should be bringing life. There should be life in your home. There should be life in your school. There should be life at your workplace. There should be life in your neighborhood. Because it brings life to dead things. The Dead Sea will become like the Mediterranean. There will be an abundance of fish. There will be an abundance of fishermen. What did Jesus tell his disciples, his first four disciples? Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we're looking at this, if we interpret that way, the commentary interprets that way, evangelism. So when you're the river, it brings life. The fruit of the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. People will experience the fresh bubbling spring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a gift that He has given to His church. We can either accept it or reject it. It's up to us. It's there. It's available for us. So, let's kind of go back to the original question here. Why would anyone want to be like Doug? Doug never gave up. All right? Doug persevered. It took some time. Start with the toes. Went to the ankles, went to the knees, went to the waist, and then he swam. Doug loved going to the pool. Church people are thirsty for what we have. Not only for that spring of fresh water, living water, but they're also hungry for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's something more. Not just life, but abundant life. Let's not just think about physical abundance. Let's think about spiritual abundance that he is providing. What's funny is that, it's humorous to me anyway, that how many remember those 8mm cameras? Yes, those dreaded things. That every holiday, Dad would pull out that 8mm camera, video camera, and take our picture. You remember the flat light they had on it? It about blinded you. You couldn't even see. You're like, okay, we're enjoying this. But my sister, a few years ago, had some of them transferred to a DVD. And one of those films had us swimming at the pool. And we're all splashing around, us, our family splashing around. But in the background, guess who they caught? Getting acclimated to the water. Today, I don't know where you stand when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're sitting on the bank. Maybe you've got your toes a little bit wet. Maybe you're up to your ankles or your knees where, yeah, there's something to this. But God wants you the whole way in. He wants to give it to you. It's a gift that Jesus wants you to have. He told his early disciples, do not leave Jerusalem. Don't do a thing until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He said that because maybe we don't want it, but the truth is we need it. Not just for ourselves, but for others. Today you can choose to stay at the shallow end of the pool, if that's what you choose and if that's what you want. But it'll never satisfy the thirsting of your soul. Where are you today? Where are you? How many know it's more fun? I won't say funner. More fun in the deep end of the pool. Because that's where you swim. That's where you play Marco Polo. That's where the slide is. That's where the diving board is. That's where all the fun is. So why do we want to stay at the shallow end when God has so much more for us? Our theme for Acts 2 is fun. Who said church has to be serious? Who said it has to be dead? Who said it has to be? We want it to be alive. We want it to be something that the church wants to do. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we want it to be fun. And we want you to be involved. You may be on the shore this morning. Maybe your toes got a little wet. Maybe you're at your ankles or knees or the waist. But God wants to immerse you. He wants to drown you in the Holy Spirit. He said it was a river in this story in Ezekiel that you could not even cross. You can't even begin to fathom the depth of the Holy Spirit. and what he has. As a church, we have not even begun to scratch the surface of what he has for us. So my encouragement this morning is, be a duck. Don't just stop at the shallow end, but keep on going. Keep on going. Get acclimated. He has something great for you here today.